Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on how to receive God's best was recorded at our 2011 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
And there's not a lot of people that have tapped into the blessings of God. They're just living from crisis to crisis. It's always temporary, and it's not as abundant. When they got the old corn of the land, who wouldn't have rather had grapes that are so big that you have to carry one cluster on a pole between two men? Man, crops that are growing, and the land was like the Garden of Eden. Anything would grow. Who wouldn't rather have that abundance than a little tiny wafer that evaporated by noon every day and was gone? A blessing will get you by, but it'll never be abundant. But in the promised land, there was such an abundance, but it took labor. They had to cooperate with the seasons. They had to plant at a certain time. They had to weed their gardens. They had to keep the animals out. There was things that they had to do. And you know what? There's a lot of people that rather than accept this responsibility would rather just sit there and with their feet propped up, watching As a Stomach Turned on television, and when they get in trouble, oh God, I'm believing you for a miracle. It takes effort to cooperate in the blessings. It takes effort to get in there and learn the spiritual laws and do the things that you've got to do to see the blessing of God work in your life. Amen or oh me. Well, that's powerful. And I tell you, there's a lot more that I've got to share on this, but I'm about out of time here today. But if you could just get this concept that miracles, sometimes there needs to be a combination of the two. Sometimes we find ourselves in such bad situation that we need a miracle from God to even get back up to ground level and get started. And so if you need a miracle, praise God, receive one. Pray for one and get one. But ultimately, get to a place to where, God, I pray that I never have to have another miracle in my life. I pray that I never have to get there. I'm praying that, man, all of the miracles will be for other people. Jesus used miracles like a bell that drew people to him, because they had so many needs and he meant their needs. But then he told them, go and sin no more lest the worst thing come upon you. And he told them to quit doing the things that they'd been doing, to start seeking God. And you may be in a situation where you need a miracle right now, but don't live there. Get to a place to where you start walking in the blessings of God and say, God, I want to walk in your abundance. I'd rather have the abundance of the promised land than the miracle manna of the desert, of the wilderness. And there's a lot of people that have just been praying and waiting on God to supply a miracle because you haven't been cooperating with the laws of God. You know, when you start understanding a blessing, and tonight I'm going to really get into some things that'll help you to start understanding how to receive this, but it's like you got this huge river, like the Mississippi River or some huge river flowing by right out there and beside you. And all you got to do is just start drawing a little line over to yourself and divert a little bit of that water. And then it starts running and it starts washing out. And you know, if you dug a deep enough channel, you could actually divert the course of that entire river towards you. In a sense, here's all of the blessings of God that are abundant. God wants you healthy, wealthy, prosperous, joyful, anointed, on and on and on. The abundance of God is just awesome. But you got to start it flowing towards you by saying, all right, I will confess the word of God. I will honor you, and I am going to give a portion of what I've got. And I am, and you start doing that, and you start this flow of the blessing towards you. It'll come as a little trickle, and then a little increase, an increase. And you can get literally to where it just overwhelms you. The blessing of God comes upon you and overtakes you. Most people are seeking the blessings of God. The scripture says that the blessings will come upon you and overtake you. That means you can't outrun them. You get to a place where you just can't help it. Every time you turn around, you're blessed. You know, we got some things working. I hadn't got the privilege of telling you what they are right now, but they're awesome. And I was just talking to David Hardesty 2 weeks ago and said, man, well, I'm ready to do this now. We just need a person. And then Jamie and I, 1 week later, were talking to a guy, and all of a sudden, I think, I'm supposed to do this. And Jamie and I drove home like, can you believe that we're just so blessed? We hardly even mention anything until, boom, here's a person that God raises up, and a person that I wouldn't have even thought would have been available to help me do what I need to do, because they're just overqualified. And I'm just blessed. God just brings blessings to me. I'm a blessing magnet. I can't turn around without being blessed. You can reach a place to where you just are so blessed. It's like, God, what else can you do? How else could you bless me? How better could it be? There's some of you aren't relating to what I'm saying because you've never flowed into the blessing. But I'm telling you that God has more for you than what any of us are receiving. God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. Before you can be a blessing to other people, you yourself have to be blessed. If you're one that's living from crisis to crisis and you're just constantly struggling, you can't be a blessing to other people. You're struggling yourself. The Lord told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, He says, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Before Abraham could be a blessing, he had to be blessed. He had to receive it. And man, I wish I had time. I probably won't have time to go through Abraham, but what a great example of blessing. This man began to prosper so much that literally two different kings came out and said, you're mightier than we are. Depart from us because our land cannot sustain your prosperity and our whole nation. He was more prosperous than the entire nation. And it was because of the blessing of God. And once he understood that he was blessed, once he got a blessed mentality, he and his nephew Lot were so prosperous that they couldn't graze all of their cattle and sheep together because they had too much. They were too prosperous. And so Abraham said, we're going to have to split ways. He says, you pick. He says, you either go down here where there's this great pasture land or take the desert. You pick, and I'll go the opposite direction. There was no guess as to what Lot was going to pick. He was going to pick the thing that had all the well-watered pasture land. You know what that says? Abraham was so confident that he was blessed that he would come out on top, that give me the worst thing, and I'll still prosper. He knew that his blessing wasn't just physical. There was physical things that he did. But it wasn't his physical things. He was counting on the blessing of God. He knew God said, I am going to bless you and make your name great. And he believed it. And because of it, he was willing to let other people take the better part. You know, that would be comparable today to somebody who's a salesman. And everybody's vying for position and wanting the best district so that their sales can go up and your commission can go up. Most of us would nearly stab a person in the back to be able to get the best district and the one that's going to do the best. But you know, a blessed person will say, it doesn't matter. Give me the worst district. Put me in the worst spot and I guarantee you I'll come out ahead. You can get that attitude. I've actually told an employer before, I said, if you hire me, you'll be blessed. Because whatever I set my hand unto is blessed. I'm prosperous. And some people think, man, you're arrogant. I'm not arrogant. That is knowing that I'm blessed. Jamie and I got into a situation where we couldn't pay our landlord. And instead of waiting 3 or 4 weeks until he came after me and threatened me, the day my rent was due, I went and told this guy. And I said, I don't have the money. And I said, I'm sorry. I'm good for it. I will pay you, but I just don't have it. I didn't avoid him. I was upfront and honest with him. And he owned a photography studio. And he says, I'm about to lose my business. He said, the guy that developed my pictures is gone. He says, I'll let you work it off. And I couldn't, this is back during that poverty time when I thought it was wrong for me as a minister to work. But I couldn't sit there and say, no, I'm not going to work when I owed the guy money. And so reluctantly, I said, well, okay. And I went in there and he started teaching me how to develop pictures. He had a contract from the high school. And he had 2 8x10s, a 5x7, and 17 wallet size photos for every kid in the school. And they were 2 months behind on fulfilling it. And I had to get in and started developing these pictures. So he took me in there the very first time, and he shot this. We had a dark room in this machine, and you had to shoot this and put it through the developer and do all of this. And old school, amen. And anyway, we came out, and he looked at this picture, and he says, "What's wrong with this picture?" And I said, "Nothing's wrong with that picture. That looks great." He says, "Too much magenta." I said, "What's magenta?" I didn't even know what magenta was. And he went in and started trying to teach me, and honestly, I couldn't figure it out. I just didn't. That's not my calling. But you know what? I needed to pay this guy off, and I wanted to do a good job, so I got in there and I started praying in tongues. And I did things that you can't do. I did. I hadn't got time to explain it, but because there were 17 wallet size, you could only put 8 wallets on one 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. And then the extra one, the 17th, had to be put on one sheet of paper and then run through the developer. And so you wasted the rest of that paper. I thought it would make sense to put 8 different people's wallet size picture on that, but you had to cover it and then turn on the lights, change out the negative, redo everything, and then remember where you were on this piece of paper and stuff. And so anyway, I shot one of those, and he came walking through, and he came running in there, and he said, "You've put 8 different people's picture on this, and you didn't overexpose the other one." He says, "I've been developing pictures for 26 years. You can't do that again if your life depended on it." He says, "I've only done that once in 26 years. And I said, "Well, look at this." And I took him into a room, and there must have been 100 sheets like that that I had already done. And this guy just shook his head, and he says, "I don't know what you're doing," but he says, "Keep doing it." And did you know, within 2 months, he offered me 50% of his business. And I told him, I said, "No, I'm called a minister," and I didn't take him up on it. But I say that guy's business. And, you know, he heard me on television giving this story, and he contacted me. He's down here somewhere in South Texas now. And he wrote and asked me about, "Do you remember working for me?" And I said, "Sure I do." And, you know, when it came time to leave, he wanted me to train a replacement. So they brought a guy in, and I took him in the dark room, and we shot a shot, and I took it out into the light, and I said, "What's wrong with this picture?" He goes, "Nothing's wrong with that." I said, "Too much magenta. I've been waiting to do that." And I started teaching him how to do the settings and do all of this stuff. And I mean, I only had one night to train this guy, and he started panicking. It was about the end. He says, "I still don't understand what you're doing. How do you do this?" And I said, "Well, if you want me to be totally honest, I pray in tongues, and I ask God to show me what this picture needs, and God just gives me words of knowledge and shows me how to do it." And this guy hit all of, you know, his face just flushed, and he says, "I don't pray in tongues. What do I do?" And I said, "Well, I can help you. I can help you to pray in tongues. Other than that, I don't know what to tell you," and I just left him. Amen. But I'm saying that, you know what, I'm blessed. And I could guarantee you, if something happened, if I had to go work at McDonald's, I'd either be the manager or the owner of that McDonald's in a short period of time, because I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Andrew's Life series is available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD. We'll send it to you in exchange for a gift of any amount. A single CD covering today's topic is also available free of charge to those who cannot send a gift. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net.